So I got to ask a question that unfortunately, Ryan, you can't comment on. So really, I'm only asking this to Matt.
Hooray, I feel special and exclusive.
You should, because Ryan doesn't really play video games. So with that in
mind,
what
a noob.
With that in mind, I like Fallout. What'd you think?
I love Fallout. I started on Fallout 3. I played Fallout 4. I played Fallout Shelter. I spent way too much time. Fallout Shelter was like the new age, like Bethesda Nerds Tamagotchi, where it just never let me sleep because I was terrified of my vault dwellers dying. I didn't play 76 because I heard it was a dumpster fire, although I had friends who played it. I need to play New Vegas at some point because I heard it's the best. But I did, in fact, watch the show. I was a little disappointed in the lack of death claws and glitches.
Yeah.
Although Max does glitch through the floor at some point.
So now I ask this question, not directly toward Ryan, but, you know, just because he's within earshot. What did you think about the puppy incinerator scene? Because when Heather and I saw that, we kind of busted out laughing, probably for the wrong reasons. But yeah, spoiler alert for episode 2. It's like half a second.
Well, now you gave me something to watch out for.
Wait a minute, which scene?
Okay, so it's in the beginning of episode 2. They're weighing the puppies, the dogs that have just been born.
Oh, you're right, you're right, you're right.
And yeah. It's literally in the first 10 seconds of the episode, and it's so abrupt. And Heather and I are watching it, and we're eating some fast food, and it happens. Her jaw just drops, and I just bust out laughing because of how abrupt it is. Now, it's kind of standard for Fallout to do this kind of shtick where it's like, okay.
They just brush over the atrocities. It's very matter of fact.
They just sort of brush the atrocities. I guess
like
now
it's like a yes, this is happening. You cannot stop it. Just enjoy it.
It's hysterical for all the wrong reasons. And I guess now I should ask Ryan, are you interested? Because it's pretty much been all the talk, minus that scene.
I've seen enough advertising for it. And honestly, just I kept wondering how were they going to make this video game into a tangible, practical show. And the fact that they have, it does have me curious to check it out. I mean, right now I'm in kind of a void where, like, I've kind of paused on finishing No Reservations, and I'm caught up with The Bear until season 3. Yes, I watched The Bear. I'm that guy at the party. And right now I'm watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, of all things. So,
oh dear God.
Really? Yeah, and I started to read Frindle. Okay.
I worked on Maisel, if you didn't remember, Ryan.
Oh, I do.
Interesting.
It's so infuriating to me, like, just how annoying of a person she becomes.
Yeah, we're at like the season 1 finale, so I know we've still got, I guess,
you've got four more seasons left.
Yeah, buddy. So
I will say the show has amazing production value. It's gorgeous.
Yeah,
and Tony Shalhoub as Abe is consistently delightful.
Mm-hmm.
That but, I will say for the show.
I don't know. I mean, I'll give the first episode a watch. You know, episode 2. Sebastian, when you described that scenario, all I kept thinking was Heather's reaction, your reaction, and then have you guys ever seen that video of the dog barking at the guy, and the guy barks back at the dog, and the dog keeps barking, and then the guy keeps barking, and then the dog stops and goes, like
oh,
the dog.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I swear to you, that was Jake in that moment, too. Like, I feel like he just was like,
yeah,
which is like a terrible moment to do on a podcast of just trying to make faces of confusion like I just did. But
see, yeah. You underestimate me. I know all the dog lore videos. I know dog eats burrito in 1 second. I know dog howling, I love you. Hell, I even know dog eat shredded cheese. That one's a banger. I can go on and on. And it makes me sad because those videos have been uploaded for 15 years, and you think, well, Can't really watch it without shedding a tear. Gentlemen, special report, news break, breaking news, whatever political pundits terminology you want to throw around. I approached you two with a topic. You guys delivered. Well, you mainly just agreed, which, thanks. Trump's in the news, shocker. And he's inadvertently given us content that I'm stoked over. Like, you know me, I love reading. I love narrating, and I love giving a little bit of a bit of a ham-fisted approach to most things. But the jury is out, and the jurors are us, because I have in front of me, courtesy of whatever site I downloaded this from, 42 of quite possibly the most important questions of the 21st century. No, this doesn't ask you what you're, this doesn't ask you directly who you are and what you identify with as a person, but it comes pretty damn close. And I know, Ryan, you pulled up an article wanting to kind of provide some context to it. What's this about?
So essentially what we have here is the juror questionnaire for the jurors that are going to be, helping us, their fellow Americans, with understanding what'll be the outcome of the hush money trial involving Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels, which years ago, it's pretty hard to forget. He was, I think, on Air Force One, and somebody said, "Oh, did you pay or order to pay money to silence Stormy Daniels from talking about your affair with her while your wife, your third wife, was pregnant?" To which Donald just kind of stood there and went, "Nope, nope," and that was that. Fast forward to his then personal lawyer seeing prison time, although not exactly lengthy prison time. Plus, part of that I think was spent at home because it was during COVID. And now he's going to be like the star witness. Cohen is going to be one of the star witnesses for this trial.
They're anticipating a very apolitical, very neutral stance, which I'll just say, that's probably the best juror, the best possible juror that you could get, is to have someone be completely impartial to the situation, not have any qualms, not have any quips, not have any allegiance to one, shall we say, new source than the other.
Right.
And again, they're not direct questions because I don't think they can be. I actually consulted a good friend of mine who's actually a practicing attorney, because I wanted to see what this was and what the official term was, because I don't know, are these leading questions? Are they indirect questions? Is there a special third term that I'm glossing over? And I ask this, and she hits me right back with a question. Classic lawyerism. Okay, you spend 3 years of your life not learning to be as direct as possible, when the law depends on it. I'm just kidding. She's very smart, and she basically boiled it down to it being an indirect question. All 42 of these questions, with exception of one, are subjective, because one of them is just a yes or no question, and then I think a couple of others are like sub questions have like yes or no, like you can only really answer one way. But a
Right.
majority of these are open-ended. I would go so far as to say that about 90% of them.
Are you
A couple
married?
of
It
them,
depends what you mean by married.
a couple of them have choices akin to like a multiple choice, but really it's I equate it more to just like a tally. What do you align yourself with and others? And in preparation for this episode, I really wanted to do two things. And one, and it's either one or the other. Either answer honestly, as if we were the prospective jurors, however, risk doxing ourselves, because they do ask us certain geographical questions I don't think we'd want to put on air, or embody the stereotypes of, let's just say, who they anticipate these questions are being asked to, right? Which I think is also hysterical, because if you can conjure up sort of a stereotype of who you think these would be answered to, and would answer them all fucking flawlessly, just how you'd expect them to be answered, because they're open-ended, I think that would also be pretty funny as well. I'm ready to dive into this. If anyone has any thoughts or attempts at jury nullification, let's hear them now. But I'm ready to just jump in.
I think very quickly, just because this news did break before, like literally within the last few hours before we started recording, looks like 12 jurors have been picked.
Yeah, I
Just
think
double
one of them
checking.
dropped out, if I'm not mistaken. One of them just decided they weren't going to do it. And then I saw a figure. It was like $130,000, though. I think that might have been just related to the case. Yes, April 18th. Oh, today. During the hush money trial of former President Donald Trump, a juror requested a dropout due to concerns about her identity being revealed.
Yeah, there were.
She's the smartest one
I
because.
mean, there's legitimate concern, especially with how Trump uses Truth Social in spite of all the judges saying, hey, don't fucking do it. And he does
Yeah.
it.
See
Yeah.
that
And then
stock
nothing
price, by the way?
happens to him. Nothing happens to the motherfucker. And then also you've got his like army of idiot trolls with no chins who decide that they're the saviors of America and will dox anybody who dares speak against their orange orangutan savior.
Well, let's at least try to pivot on certain things that this trial finds most important. Each juror who is seated in the jury box will be asked to fall to. I can't even read correctly. How did I pass grade school? Who is seated in the jury box will be asked to answer the following 42 questions, beginning with the juror in seat number one. I guess if you want to identify, I guess if you want to assign numbers here, feel free. I mean, there's only three of us, so what, three out of 42? We're working with what percentage exactly? I just know that this trial is going to go a lot quicker than the actual trial. Please do not read the questions aloud. That is not necessary. Oops. Simply state the number of the question and the answer each question one after the other in a loud, clear voice. Depending on your answer, we may ask you follow-up questions. We do not have the luxury of this being live, because apparently we're nobodies in the up in the grand echelon of the internet. I mean, shit, could you imagine that? This could be like the ultimate televised opportunity. I'm getting ahead of myself. When you are finished answering all the questions, we will move on to the next seated juror until every juror has had the opportunity to answer. Number one off the bat, it's immediately asking us for our address. Surprised it's not asking us for the three nifty numbers of our credit card on the back, but we are in the clear because it says, without telling us your address, in what neighborhood do you live? And it does not list any neighborhoods in California or in Massachusetts. Specifically, it references Upper East Side, Lower West Side, Inwood, etc. Am I a native New Yorker? No, thank God. If not, where did you live previously?
And also, how long have you
Yeah.
lived in said
Oh, how long
neighborhood?
have I lived there? Oh, wow. Well,
Well, and it's a New York criminal trial, so.
yeah, exactly. So we're not, I think we're good. Well, at the risk of doxing ourselves outside of very, very, very general geographic area, we can continue unless we have any further quips. What
Not
do you
knowing.
do for a living? Now,
Dick around.
he'd be perfect for the trial. Put him on stand. Cross-examine this man. How long have you been doing
You
that?
call this living?
So, Matt, how long have you been dicking around? Who is your current employer? Well, if you're any self-deprecating Instagram influencer, you'd have that as self-employed in your bio. So, in Matt's case, that's pretty obvious. How large is your current employer? Matt, you have a ruler?
I wear a size 30 waist.
Okay.
or 30, 30, 30, between 30 and 32, usually a 31 if
30 and
I'm
32,
exercising.
are those different measurements? Are we measuring different things or?
Well, I mean,
Anyway, are you
oh God.
self-employed or own your own business? Now, see, we're already at question two. I'm sorry, we're already at question three. And not to break the tension, but this is what I mean where I say it's Trump. It's the umbrella of who he embodies, of what he embodies, of what ideologies he embodies. And, you know, again, you're supposed to go into this very apolitically. Ideally, that's what a judge would want out of a juror.
Right.
It's hard not for me to have implicit bias and think to myself that they're asking these questions to identify not who I am politically, black and white, or not what I identify with politically, black and white, but, you know, what you can grasp at in terms of where I grow up, where I grew up, what my employment looks like, what social circles I frequent, and we'll see as we go, what news stations I tune myself into. Okay. So I understand that they're implicitly painting a picture of bias here and they're trying to weed that out. And that's great. New York is pretty diverse, though, bud. So I don't know if you're going to have people willing to answer this honestly or think that they are being attacked because they are asking this and because they're letting their implicit bias answer these questions for them. Right. In a perfect world, you would answer no to all these questions. Because if the less a judge knows about you, the more impartial you are, the better. But I don't know, in this political climate, I can't see people not answering dishonestly. I think people are going to be answering these questions with their hearts.
Well, I mean, even skipping ahead, and I'm not looking at the other question. Well, there are other questions in the questionnaire, but provided by a news article that does provide the questionnaire, you know, if anything, it is just shaping up a sense of impartiality with each of the jurors so that, you know, I don't know, fills out, okay, who is this person? Why should this person be allowed to say whatever about, or not say whatever, but ultimately be a juror? You know, why this person should ultimately pass judgment on this guy that's being accused of a pretty, you know, pretty small crime compared with a lot of the other crimes he's been accused of. So it's, you know, you could say, oh, I'm a, I don't know, a stock boy at Home Depot. And the judge could be like, oh, okay, that's nice. But then you like scroll all the way down. Have you ever heard of the Boogaloo Boys? And you're like, oh, I know all about them. Well,
Yeah, red flag.
you're out.
You know, if they had 43 questions, the 43rd question would most likely be, hey, if you could kiss Trump's boots, would you? I mean,
I wouldn't. I no, but
no. But if you said yes, that would be a red flag because if you're coming into that would also be a red flag. If you were to come into the trial and you favor this man, obviously your opinion is going to be it's going to be the lopsiding factor because why would that person vote any differently on this man's behalf?
right. Well, and that goes
Right?
back,
So
that goes to what I had said earlier about how, like, how it's sort of like, how can you not have an opinion on Trump? Like, even
right.
journalists I know, it's like, okay, yeah, Biden's president, and at a certain point, the election wasn't on anyone's mind, and it really wasn't on any, it wasn't of any concern, but, like, still, we went through the Trump era together. So, how do you not have an opinion of the man who literally, I mean, the guy had an opinion on Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, for Christ's sake. Like, what didn't, honestly, the only thing I don't think he had an opinion on was like the new Star Wars movies, as weird as that might sound. So,
Oh,
otherwise,
thank
like
God.
he's touched everything. His small hands have touched everything, except for something like that. You know, Rey shouldn't be a Jedi. Let me tell you, she shouldn't. I don't trust her. Like, no, he didn't say
Honestly,
anything.
best take that he's had, if that was the case. Okay. So next one asks, what's my educational background? I don't want to be called out when I say openly that I do in fact have a certification from Andrew Tate's Hustlers University.
Oh, God.
Hereditary School of Hard
I
Knocks.
All the chinless
do.
motherfuckers who don't have like actual profile photos
That was, oh
on
my God, that
Facebook.
was way better than what I had in mind for a joke. Man, you just blew me out of the water.
I'm
School of
sorry.
Hard Knocks. Do boomers really use that?
Yes, I've seen it so often. And they
Oh,
always like either
just.
have like the flag or an eagle or like a cross or something Christian on
Yeah.
their profile photo. They never have a photo of themselves. And they're always like, they
Interesting.
think they're so edgy because it's like, huh, I control the libs and the young folk. And then it's just go back to bed, Chris.
I never thought there was a turn of phrase that could make me even more disgruntled. You 100% surprise me every single time. Am I married? No. Do I have any children? Not that I know of. Next. If I am married or living with another adult, what does that person do for a living?
I mean,
Sell medicine to high schoolers. I don't know. Like what? You can really go balls to the wall with any of these answers, right? And provided someone answers well on one but is completely unhinged on another, like what is that? Like automatic grounds for dismissal? Like if someone openly admits, for example, that like, oh, you know, I'm a 1099 hustler, and what that means is they're on the street corner. I don't know, not judging. Does that automatically disqualify them? Like, what's the barrier of entry in terms of what's considered and what's immediately thrown out, you know? Okay, if you have adult children, what do they do? Hopefully not living with me. Empty nester gang. Just kidding. What do you like to do in your spare time?
You like jazz?
Do I have any interests or hobbies?
Guns, freedom, and America.
Do I have any interests or hobbies? Yeah, I run my own Etsy and Redbubble shop where in the acronym LGBT, it's Liberty, Guns, Beer, and Trump. And I completely alienate
Oh,
all of
I
my
just
friends and
died
family.
inside.
Yeah, I completely alienate my friends and family. That's a hobby of mine.
So, I heard you paint houses. There's a joke
Okay,
from
Al.
2019 that nobody
Okay,
remembers.
Al. I understand.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, alienating my friends and family is one. Complaining about some sports draft that is inconsequential to my life, and bashing the amount of money I get in Social Security I get every month. Those are pretty up there. Oh, and chess. Chess is fun. Do you participate in any organizations or advocacy groups? Okay, so this is the gateway drug of questions, if you will. Because if you say yes to eight, it really is telling of question 30. Now, question 30, you automatically referenced earlier, Ryan.
Yeah.
Have you considered yourself a supporter or belong to any of the following? QAnon, Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, Three Percenters, Boogaloo, Antifa, etc. Which, number one, I'm surprised there's not more, because I'm sure there is.
We'll divulge on that when we get there for sure.
But if you answer no to this, what happens? Right? Like, are people going to be like, oh, well, you don't support your fellow man and fellow country? You're not going to stand up for what's right? You know, this is, again, ironically, saying less is more. I don't know how many people would look at this and be like, well, you know, I did cyberbully this liberal on Facebook. Like, does that count? I hope not. People don't look at this like that. But anyway. Have you served on a jury before? Me personally, I have not. Every single jury duty notice that I have received, because you're supposed to call each and every day, I've been spared. And it's unfortunate because I kind of want to see how it goes, you
Me
know.
too. I've
I don't
never
think
been
there's
asked
many
to do
ways.
jury duty. Never.
Yeah,
I've
I don't think
done
there's
a
many.
federal grand
Yeah.
jury, which is different than a normal jury. We just decide whether or not the federal government has enough evidence to take it to trial.
Oh, wow.
Well,
Okay.
that seems very bureaucratic and boring.
You're
I would
either there
have.
for 6 months or for a year. Luckily, I got out in 4 months, but I did enjoy like being able to get out of work early on a Friday, technically, and still get
Yeah.
paid for it. So,
Okay.
I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't just give you the full day, because that's a full day, isn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, they have their docket of cases that they have for the day. And like pretty much I was there from I think like 8 a.m. and I was usually out by 12:01. And then I
Interesting.
didn't need I generally did not clock back into work after that. I had the
Okay.
re I already took the day off. I'm gonna use it.
Yeah,
would
exactly.
just I would just go to Little Tokyo and have ramen.
Don't go indicting yourself again there, Matt. Like you did many episodes ago. No,
They're not
he
gonna
just
find me in Texas.
admitted that he fell for one of the dumbest and oldest scams in the book. I'm gonna hold that over your head till the day you die. That's
I didn't fall for the scam. That's the thing. I told them that I knew that they were scammers. So.
Yeah, but they still called you though. Like obviously you gave them enough information for them to be like, okay, we're gonna give them a 1-2. You didn't learn your lesson, did you?
I am notoriously very stubborn, so.
So without telling us the verdict, please tell us whether the jury reached a verdict. I mean, again, you can answer no here. If it's in the case of like a hung jury, I mean, that'd just be a complete waste of time, but you know. All right. Which of the
Okay.
following print publications, cable and/or network programs, or online media, such as websites, blogs, or social media platforms, do you visit, read, or watch?
Oh,
Now,
here we go.
these you can read aloud for some reason, or I guess you're supposed to read aloud to the jurors. I don't know. New York Times. Stay in your seats. Okay, it's gonna get, you know. USA Today. New York Daily News, Huffington Post, CNN, MSNBC, Google, Facebook, X, TikTok, Wall Street Journal, New York Post, Newsday, Washington Post, Fox News, Newsmask, MSN, Yahoo, Truth Social, X Videos, Twitter, 4chan. Oh, sorry, I was just rattling off others that I knew. I mean, let's be serious.
Jacobin, InfoWars,
Jacobin,
Party Girls, Red Scare,
Epic Times, some Onion Tour protocol that'll most
Babylon
likely
Bee,
land you in federal prison.
Phoenix Times, The Nation, The Atlantic.
Whatever Snowden used to do what he did.
Oh, The Guardian.
Jezebel,
Matt
right?
Pierce's Substack.
Some unhinged YouTube predators private Discord. Other. Oh, okay. Other. I guess we're good. Now, for those who are
You
eagle-eyed.
forgot a very important one. I do not
Did I?
follow the news. Yeah, sound clip that one. Yeah.
I do not follow the news. Oh, okay. I mean, I was going to say if for any of those who are eagle-eyed, you notice that, you know. Anyone in graphic design or anyone in, you know, has any semblance of word processing, will notice that there's a break from MSNBC to Google. And I really want to think that there was an option there that perhaps was a little bit too racy to put on a public ballot, if you will. And
Pornhub.
that's where I get my news. I mean, you want to stay up with current events. But then I thought, okay, what would be the most unhinged, but still followed new source that they can put there. And I thought to myself, I'm like, if I could put anything there, what would I pick? What would I
BuzzFeed.
pick?
Kush
Not
vlog.
BuzzFeed. No, I would imagine that that space, for some reason, would be OAN. I don't know why, but it just kind of speaks to me that OAN would be there, wanting to hide itself, not wanting to make itself known, but there nonetheless. I don't know if they tried to push the envelope with this ballot to see how many far left leaning or how many far right leaning programs they could get away with. But if they just had some unhinged service, unhinged news provider there, I feel like that would have been most appropriate, just to kind of, set some feelers, if you will.
Right.
Question 11 is probably the most incriminating. Do I listen or watch podcasts? Oh, do I have a bridge to sell you if it wasn't broken?
What's a podcast?
Yeah, that's right. Let's skip ahead. Do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? Well, if you don't count the amount of conservative talk radio that I was forced to listen to on the rides home from school when I was in middle school, I guess you could say that I did in 2004 to 2011. But not anymore. No.
I guess before I moved, whatever show Heidi and Frank had before they brought Frosty back, for all the
Okay.
LA listeners, which minor digression, I've somehow got it into Taylor's mind that Heidi and Frank are like untouchable, meaning I played like their very first episode of their After Hours show where let's just say they talk about Brazil nuts for reasons I will not explain on this show. You guys are just gonna have to listen for yourselves. And let's just say there's a lot of people that have been ruined by that discourse that is in the very beginning of the episode, and then the rest is just comedy gold. So I'm sorry,
Noted.
listeners, but go check it out.
Noted. All right. Hey. All right. Have I or a relative or a close friend ever been the victim of a crime? And speaking as someone who almost got their teeth kicked in by being somewhere I shouldn't have been at an obtuse hour of the night, not to give myself any more street cred than I already have. If so, briefly tell us what happened. I don't need to. Matt already covered that in our season four finale, and I'm not going to delve into that. Have I, a relative or a close friend, ever been employed by a law enforcement agency? For example, the police, FBI, district attorney's office, Department of Correction, etc.
I could be screwed on that question.
Way to rub it in my face that I don't have a government or city pension. Thanks. Have I, a relative or a close friend, ever been employed by a federal, state, or any new local government? Okay, my jealousy knows no bounds. I mean, the military counts. No, it doesn't. This is like local government. Yeah, including but not limited to the state. Okay. I mean, it's New York anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Have I, a relative or close friend, ever been employed in the accounting or finance field? All right. Well,
We know you have a
if the Fed comes a knocking and I go silent, that's just no. Just no. What? Just no.
We know you have a banking background, but we're not sure that's really comprehensive with what we're looking at with this this guy in real estate accused of paying a porn star money, hush money.
Which I guess if I were to, tinfoil conspiracy laser focus myself in on this question and try to interpret this meaning, I guess it might be asking in the however expansive, nuanced way I could ask, hey, are you good with money and do you have the know-how of being employed in these fields to do bad things with that money. That's what I think it's asking deep down. Again, that could just be totally my, that could just be me trying to grasp at straws, but that's all you can do when these questions are so milquetoast.
Well, and realistically, that's how, and I'm gonna give the most boring political science sort of summary of what all these questions are meant to do. I probably should have done it at the start, but instead of it being any other system, whether it's the political system or some form of capitalism or business or what have you, it's basically, the criminal justice system trying to narrow down who you are and try and basically like do its own sort of reverse census on you and narrow you down within their own very just, I don't know what's the best way to put it, narrow you down into the most basic way possible that in their eyes it's a red flag, but if it were any other kind of test, it theoretically shouldn't be a red flag, but given again the subject matter, it very well could be. I mean, some of the jurors that they talked to, or I guess maybe some of the jurors that had to pull out, it does look like they still have, they do have 12, they have one alternate, but some of the people that were like, nah, I might not do it, or the people that are doing it had to be like, oh yeah, I watch Fox and I watch CNN, and it's like, what? And I on one hand I get
What's the
that.
real answer? Yeah.
Well, it's like I get that, especially speaking as the person who would watch both during the Trump years just to see what the others what both sides had to say about it. If you feel some type of way, as the song goes, about Donald Trump, I think you're gonna stick to your guns when it comes to news networks or newspapers. Anyway, carry on.
So,
17.
it's asking if I have been ever considered, or if I know anyone who has ever considered working in the legal field, including but not limited to practicing criminal or civil law, outside of what I've seen with Better Call Saul. No, and I don't need to be reminded of my low LSAT score when I was an undergrad. Have I, a relative or close friend, had any experience or interaction with the criminal justice system? If so, what was that experience? Would that experience prevent you from being a fair and impartial juror in this case? Now, we've come across our first question. That's actually a sub question, where if you answer yes, I'm pretty sure this would be a disqualifying factor, right?
Oh, very well, yeah.
Okay. Have you, a relative or close friend, ever been accused or convicted of committing a crime? And I'm just kind of going to breeze through these if they're, somewhat similar. Do you, a relative or close friend, have a pending criminal case? No and no. Do you have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs, Ryan, you can't answer, or opinions which might prevent you from following the court's instructions on the law, or which might slant your approach on this case? Question B basically asks the same thing in response to rendering a verdict. I don't know why you wouldn't have one unless the other
Yeah.
was present, because if you're just there to voice your opinion but can't voice it technically, to weigh in, you're wasting your time.
Well, and again, it goes back to what I said earlier, where it's like, Trump himself has touched everything, in American society. On the flip side of that, to have gone through years, the Trump years, and not have an opinion on him in any way, shape, or form. I mean, okay, fine. I can easily see someone basically be like, he doesn't bother me, I don't care. But there also comes a point where you have people out there that can just look at the facts and go, I think X, Y, and Z of him based on this information alone. Now, me characterizing it in that way could make it sound like it could go either way. Very true. But at the same time, There's been enough people that have gone on the cable networks that have basically said, look, I'm not in this to have an opinion on whether so and so is a good president or a bad president, but it's based on the actions that they make. Because Donald Trump did X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z that no other president has done or would do or should do, therefore he's doing things that are so unprecedented, so unhinged, that in a court of law, theoretically, he'd go straight to prison for it.
You look at this and you're like, why can't they just have a one question, yes or no? Do you support the man that is being cross-examined on the stand? And find some sort of judicial impartiality that you could fill a juror booth with and just have the fucking trial. Because
Well,
what's going to happen? The nuance of it is that what's going to happen is people are going to answer these questions. They're going to get selected.
yeah.
And then the news articles and the turmoil or whatever evolves from these proceedings is going to set a precedent that may very well sway some opinions of the jurors after the fact that they've already been selected. So what's going to happen is that I think the people who are either the most extreme or hiding it just to get on the panel. Because from what I've seen, it's just a bunch of impartial people being like, oh, I don't really care what he does or whatever.
Well,
I don't want to assume anything, but I'd like to think that the circumstances surrounding this trial are going to have a cyclical effect on the jurors. And I think a lot of that supposed impartiality of picking these jurors is going to really kind of stab him in the back because it's like, I don't know, depending on how the trial might sway, people might change their opinions. I mean, there's 24 hours in a day, and I'm willing to bet that this trial is going to take up about 8 to 12 hours of this person's day, and then they're going to go home and watch the news and be like, fuck, do I really have the same opinion now compared to when I was selected?
yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to play out. And it may play out for the worse, which means, I don't know, do new people get selected? A dumb question, but like, do new people get selected for jury duty when someone is shown to have a bias that would sway the court one way or the other?
I mean, ideally, that's where you need to have that really hammered in during jury selection. Otherwise, you could have a mistrial declared.
But
And
really, when you look at it at the end of the day, is there any possible way that there is no sway and bias in this whatsoever? I don't think it's anywhere remotely possible. I think this is kind of just a farce. I think that the outcome will be determined one way or the other, and there's no going to be swaying it because people on one side are not going to be swayed to the other side, and either Trump gets off and we get 4 years of him back in the office, fucking shit up and starting another world war, probably, or licking Putin's taint, or he gets thrown in the slammer and we live in an Alex Garland movie from here on out.
I mean, looking at some of these as well, like the religious belief thing, it did get me thinking. And then I promise we're only halfway through the questionnaire. I promise we'll get back to it.
I'll go through it at a quicker pace because, again, a lot of these are very much like, one note questions. So.
Yeah. But one important thing I'll say, and for all I know, I might repeat it down the line when we get close to the election, but one of the most consistent things that Gallup polls say is that around 30%, not exactly 30%, of Americans consider themselves Democrats, and around 30% of Americans consider themselves Republicans. It's between like 25 to 30% for both, which basically leaves the rest of the country as independents. Now, we like to think that that's something to aspire to and to be, respected, but obviously, depending on which side of the political equation you're on, that can be a very frustrating thing because you could have those very same independents who aren't party loyalists, but they do look at their taxes, their bank account, their kid's school and they think, well, it was better under this party, or it might have been better under that party. Well, I liked Obama, but I'm going to go with Trump, and now I'm going to go with Biden. You have a lot of those people that ultimately bend whichever way the wind blows, but they're still going to have certain opinions. Like, I look at the religious belief thing, and it's like, yeah, that's how both sides get you, is by, invoking that old-time religion that, we still act like William Jennings frickin' Bryan is running for president for the umpteenth time, even though he's been dead for like 100 years. And, oh, we gotta capture those little things, those little moments that, really suck people in into saying, yeah, that's right, I'll vote for you, even though I don't believe in your platform or your party. The whole impartiality thing, whether you're an independent voter, whether you're a journalist, or whether you're a juror, it is a blooming farce. And with that, the floor continues to be yours, Sebastian.
It asks if I have an underlying health condition that might interfere with my ability to be here. Hypertension when I'm done with this. And
Having a
without telling.
functioning brain?
That's more like a perk. It's like a Fallout perk, bringing it
Yeah.
back. It's like something that you reach level two at and you pick the.
Well, I mean, by the end of it, your brain will be mush, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a wild wasteland we're living in. All right, I'll shut
Oh,
up.
yeah.
Without telling us the names, do I take any medication that would prevent you from being able to concentrate or paying attention? I mean,
Adrenochrome.
I don't want
Oops.
to oust, anyone, but peyote's kind of up and coming. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It was a joke. That was explicitly a joke. Oh, God. Court proceedings normally end around 4:30 in the afternoon. Okay, so this is the question that's either yes or no. Yes or no. Would your schedule and responsibilities permit you to work later if it were absolutely necessary to complete that day's work? Meaning, if you passed question 18, but if you answered no, obviously you wouldn't be selected. This is probably the most technical question out of all of them. It's basically asking if attendance, can you make it? 25, do you practice a religion that would prevent you from sitting as a juror? I think we already explained that.
I worship the moon god.
Or Ryan did, ironically. Can you give us an assurance that you will be fair and impartial? This is the same question. 26 is literally the same exact question as 21, part A and part B. But it's ask, but it's mainly, it's more of a terms and conditions. Can you assure us? Well, sure. I can assure you. Am I going to be honest? Well, that's, if you factor human error into the equation, Can you promise to guard against allowing stereotypes or attitudes about individuals or about groups of people referred to as an implicit bias influence your decision?
Oh, wait, I thought you were still reading 26.
No, this is 27.
Oh, because
And
26 is a very different question from 21, I
is it?
thought.
Can you give us an assurance that you will be fair and impartial and not base your decision in this case upon a bias or prejudice in favor of?
On
I mean,
account of that person's race, color, national origin, ancestry, gender, blah, 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 which.
21 asks if I have any political, moral, intellectual, or religious beliefs. This is mainly expanding on the fact of,
Well,
well, I mean, okay.
think of it this way. If you're a Christian and if you believe in a very liberal Christianity, liberal form of Christianity, you're probably not going to look so favorably towards Trump. However, Trump being all, it, depending on if you're a not liberal Christian, and Trump says, as he did while he was president, somebody had to do it. I'm the chosen one. You could hear that and potentially make a decision that would be, a form of bias because you do think he's the chosen one.
Okay, so just answer yes and don't provide any further insight. Got it.
Right.
Can you promise to guard against allowing stereotypes or attitudes about individuals or about groups of people? I can promise to def to guard against. Yes. That does not take into consideration personal implicit bias, which you're kind of already shooting yourself in the foot. if you have that and think that you'd be a good candidate for kids.
I mean, the subject in question is a walking, living cartoon character.
Right. So again, I can guard myself all I want. Matter of fact, assuming that this is being asked to the people or the stereotype of people that it's being asked to, I don't think you have to worry about guarding. I would say that you'd have to worry about finding yourself in a Facebook echo chamber where all you're doing is regurgitating the same shit that you believe in. And more often than not, you're doing it in favor of Trump. I'm just saying. Anyway, have I, a relative or a close friend, ever worked for any company or organization that is run or owned by Donald Trump? Yeah, I'm still seeking my my reclamation check from Trump Airlines. If you can get that to me, that'd be great. 29A through H
H. Oh, God.
is basically asking if I have enough time in my day to attend anything Trump has ever been in, if I ever bought any merch, if I ever bought his mixtape, if I ever even stepped foot into Trump Hotel, the golden eyesore of the Las Vegas Strip, if I've ever done any of this, if I've ever donated, if I've ever attended, if I've ever,
Have you volunteered?
have I volunteered?
For his campaign, his administration, his been to a rally.
Have I made myself a politically social pariah amongst my peers and loved ones
Do
that
you
I would ever
follow him on
think?
social media?
I have a fulfilling job and a fulfilling family. No to all.
Do you follow
Thanks.
any anti-Trump group or organization on any social media site, or have you done so in the past? Have you, a relative or a close friend, ever worked or volunteered for any anti-Trump group or
Have I ever
organization?
followed any newsletter or email list? It's asking me to get that technical if I've, maybe incorrectly glossed over a, hey, put in your email and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. Oh, psych. It's OAN.
Now you ask Mike Garcia any of those questions, he'd be, I don't know who Donald Trump is. I've never heard of him.
Attaboy. Have I considered myself a supporter or belong to any of the following? No, because I shower regularly. That's my general answer. Now, if you want to get more granular, I don't have enough time in my day to be that militant and that cringe when it comes to sociopolitical affairs. I understand fighting for what I believe in.
Right.
But again, bringing it back to Fallout, if we're LARPing to the upper echelon of this, of what these groups convey, what they are perceived as in the news, that's one thing to LARP. You have a growing amount of supporters for these organizations day by day that actually believe in what they're saying. And you know what? If they were to take a satirical approach, if they were to say, man, we really don't believe in any of this stuff. We're just a fraternity that's not collegiately sponsored by any means. We don't charge dues. We just kind of sit around, hang out with the boys, go skeet shooting or fly fishing or, even Masonic lodges aren't this cringe. They're really not.
Also,
But
one of
it's
these is
just,
not like the others.
yeah, and it's, again, that's where I said you could really expand this list, but honestly, I'm kind of glad that they kept it this condensed.
Like, Antifa's not even an organization.
I don't see
You
myself
can't
being a
expect them to actually be accurate with their details, Ryan. I don't see myself as a
I know.
supporter. Yeah, I don't see myself as a supporter of any of these. And quite frankly, if you do, please enlighten me as to what you get out of this organization that you wouldn't get elsewhere by expanding your social circle. Like this is the time where you can actually use social media for the better and, not fall off your own edge.
Oh, and hey, to that point, that's where Antifa would make sense because, again, Antifa, it's a belief. It's not an organization. Like, Antifa is not the, it's not like Anonymous or QAnon. It's literally just the internet's way of describing anti-fascism. The rest of these are Nazi groups.
I think I just have not enough time in my day, let alone the mental capacity, to ever think about joining any one of these. So I'll move on. I was also loved by my parents. Do I have any
See, that's the
strong?
difference. There you
Yeah,
go.
see, that's the
You
one
had a healthy
factor.
and emotional investment in your life.
That's the one factor. Hey,
Also,
investment. That's hey.
yeah.
okay, I keep bringing this up just because I keep seeing so many memes about it, like recently. But what is it with all the fucking Trump supporters, like thinking they're like the greatest gift to humanity and not having chins?
You had me for a second with the Capitol insurrection of that guy who dressed up as a Viking. Like, you had me. That is theatricality to the max. It
The
doesn't
rest are
deny
just turtles.
it doesn't diminish what he did. But that is some Fallout New Vegas great con shit if I've ever seen it. That will be in the history books. Not these, am I too turtly for the Turtle Club
Oh, God.
looking guys, right? And I guess functionally they think it equates to the same thing. You could either be the guy who is so politically showboating that he would literally paint himself and put himself in a headdress, or I don't even know what the colloquial term is for that article of clothing, or you could go the WASPy approach and essentially just embody the base definition of a suit. And I guess the Young Republicans would be, an example of that kind of pipeline. But people think, oh, well, it's two sides of the same coin, effectively. You're just kind of customizing your approach of how you want to be fucking obnoxious about it. Anyway, do I have any strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about whether a former president may be criminally charged in state court? State court, I thought it was a lot bigger than that. Do I have any feelings or opinions about how Mr. Trump is being treated in this case? Okay, so you're not even asking just indirect questions at this point. Can you give us your assurance that you will decide this case solely on the evidence you see here in the courtroom and the laws the judge gives it? Well, that's taking into account
That you're an adult,
the very small percentage that none of
functioning
these
adult.
people that none of these people have social media accounts and aren't tuned in 24/7.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, hey,
That's
my
giving them the
parents are both
extreme
of
benefit
those,
of the
and
doubt.
they still have an opinion on Trump. Like,
Exactly. Do I have any strong opinions or firmly held beliefs about former President Trump or the fact that he is a current candidate for president that would interfere with your ability to be a fair and impartial juror? I mean, that's just what this whole thing is centered on. It seems kind of why ask? I mean, isn't that why we're here, essentially? Have I read or listened to audio of any of the following books or podcasts by Michael Cohen or Marzon? Oh, excuse me, Mark Pomerantz. Oh, I almost doubted myself there. If so, please let us know what you have heard or read affects your ability to be a fair and impartial juror in this case. So we have a couple of. We have a memoir, Revenge. I'm assuming that's a film. Mea Culpa, the podcast, and People versus Donald Trump. Another. I'm assuming those are both documentaries.
Disloyal, I know for a fact that Disloyal was Michael Cohen's book, and then I looked up who Mark Pomerantz is. He's an American attorney. He left his firm to, or no, he left a firm. It wasn't even his, but he left a firm to assist with the Manhattan District Attorney's investigation into the finances of former President Donald Trump until his resignation from the case in February 2022. And he also wrote People versus Donald Trump. So
Okay.
whoever he is, he definitely has opinions of El Cheeto.
Like I said, I've been reading Frindle recently. Great book. None of these stinkers. I bet they have like one star on Goodreads. Oh. The defendant in this case has written a number of books. Have you read or listened to audio of any one or more of these books? If so, which ones?
God.
Again,
Yeah, he wrote The Art of the Deal. My foot.
Ryan, you curate your library very closely. Matt, I think I can safely say that you do the same.
Yeah.
I'm starting to. Thing is, though, is that with the internet being as big as it is, you don't have to pay for any of these turds, right?
I mean, I didn't know this guy could read, much less write. So,
I mean, his
you know,
most
I.
famous book was Ghostwritten. He just sat around and just pontificated, and then later on was like, I wrote every page of The Art of the Deal. Let me tell you, that was all me, folks. It was all me. The Art of the Deal. You want the art? I got the deal. It's the deal of the art. The Art of the Deal. Stupid.
Do I have any opinions about the legal limits cons governing political contributions? Now, I'm not sure if this is just
Was that like a Citizens United question? In which case, oh yeah.
I mean, I guess if you want a tax write-off, you could do that. I mean, I'm sure a lot more people would like to pump more of their offshore money into that. Can you promise to set aside anything you may have heard or read about this case and render your verdict? Okay, so it's asking us to promise, pinky promise on the playground, not a sure, to set aside anything you may have heard or read about this case and render your verdict based solely on the evidence presented in this courtroom. Okay, so it's asking the same question again, although it's kind of losing its steam a little bit because it's not asking us for the assurance. And
Yeah.
again, it doesn't take into account the infinitesimal chance that these people don't have social media accounts or don't listen to the news after the fact that would
Well,
automatically stir up their implicit biases anyway. You need someone completely off the grid who doesn't know a thing about this case
let me look
as
up,
the ideal juror, and you're not going to
because
get that.
now I want to know if the jury is sequestered, because if they are, I mean,
Okay, that
okay.
would make a little bit more sense.
Yeah.
Is it
I mean, all
or
I'm
is it
seeing is a
not?
Forbes story, which I'm sure it's gonna, oh no, it's gonna let me read it. Thank God. Okay.
Well, I love that my browser is AI powered and it says, based on the provided information, it's not definitive whether the Trump jury is sequestered or not. In some cases, such as the Carroll v. Trump trial, jurors were transported to and from court and sequestered from the public while on breaks. But not all trials involving Trump have mentioned sequestration.
Oh man, Forbes really just shh. Okay. But yeah,
So
I mean,
I'm gonna say no, leaning more towards maybe no.
I feel like this
And
would
I'm
be
being
something where you
generous.
should be sequestered, even though out of all of his cases, this is like the lowest low tier case, in terms of severity. Like even if he even To go back to a point that Matt made earlier, even if he got prison time, I mean, he can still run for president. So, and if he
Yeah.
even did get prison time, it would probably be for like, I don't know, several months, maybe not even a year. So, I mean, even Michael Cohen, excluding COVID, I think only had, I'll have to fact check it, but I think his sentence was pretty minimal. So, but I don't
It's
know. It would
yeah.
make sense to me that it would be sequestered. I mean, hell, if Larry David's trial in the friggin' season finale, series finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm, if that can be sequestered, why can't Donald Trump's be sequestered? My God.
That's fair enough. Once again, can you give us your absolute assurance? I am once again asking for your financial support. If we will refrain from discussing this case with anyone in any manner and from watching, reading, or listening to any accounts, really? With us this plugged in, you expect us not to fucking gossip?
Speaking of
That's.
gossip, apparently he's fallen asleep in court several times already.
Oh yeah,
Oh.
I heard about that. That's phenomenal. I love
Very
that.
nice.
Which I mean, I can relate to. I've fallen asleep in court before.
Can you ensure us that you will follow the judge's instructions on the law, including instructions? Okay, so more housekeeping. The United States Constitution provides that a defendant has no burden to introduce any evidence or to testify in a criminal case. Well, that just takes the fun out of it. If Mr. Trump chooses not to testify or to introduce any evidence, can you give us your assurance that you will not hold that against him? I mean, sure, yes. However, that's just boring. And why wouldn't he immediately try to defend himself and make a complete ass of himself while doing so? You know? And finally, is there any reason, whether it be a bias or something else, I don't know what else it would be, that would prevent you from being fair and impartial if you are selected as a juror for this case? Well, I knew for a fact, based on geographic location alone, that I wasn't going to be chosen. Neither were you two. Spoiler. I don't think that this is going to go off without a hitch. Or if it will, it'll probably be very dramatized and publicized, and I'm sure the inquirers and examiners of the world are going to take the ball with it and run, in regards to every single thing each juror decides to do on their off time, and oh, what are they really thinking? Oh, this juror posted on X here and had this opinion to say there.
Right.
I don't know. I can only assume. We're so plugged in that it's almost impossible not to have an opinion. Ideally, the laws of due process would allow this to be a relatively speedy trial. All the facts and evidence would be laid out on the table. There wouldn't be evidence that appeared at the 11th hour to turn this trial on its head, a la Phoenix Wright, but I just know someone's going to pull up some rabbit out of someone's hat and, prolong this into a state of affairs that personally I haven't seen since. Well, I mean, I can't really compare this because they're not of the same breadth of it, but, if you can remember the days of watching the OJ trial or the Casey Anthony trial and how the media coverage it like didn't fucking end.
Oh,
And
yeah.
for good reason it didn't end because we're still trying to get to the bottom of it. I
Yeah.
can imagine this being of the same vein, where this is all that's going to be talked about in the events leading up to the primary election. And I will say, not to kind of, start the doomsday clock, but if this goes well for Trump, or if, going well, meaning he gets acquitted, I think that's a wrap. I think this may seal it come November. I think
Oh,
people are going to look at this.
it could end sooner, potentially.
Yeah, I think people are going to look at this if he gets acquitted. My prediction, it's not law. This may instill sort of just a new invigoration in those people being like, is there nothing this man can't do? Is there no wall this man can't climb over? Or, whatever.
Oh, the irony.
Yeah, exactly. And I was expecting you to comment on that. Thank you. I think if it goes the way Trump wants it to, and his supporters want it to, that is going to. It's going to provide this sort of image of unstoppability of this man, which is,
Yep.
dangerous in its own right. But at the same time, it will provide a magnifying glass or a microscope, whatever the phrasing is, of I guess just how low certain people will stoop to in regards to idolizing a political figure,
Well, I think as well, your average voter, and this is something that's been talked about for years at this point. Your average voter really doesn't care all that much about Trump's legal woes. I mean, Trump has been dealing with legal nonsense. When I say nonsense, I mean, I don't mean, I'm not, that's not to say that the legal fights that he's been in have been nonsense, but I mean, certainly I think the E. Jean Carroll one, both of them, frankly. I mean, even the fact that there were two of them, the fact that there was the initial trial where she basically said, you know, he sexually assaulted me, And then there was the follow-up where he had to pay even more money because he just kept defaming her and basically kept calling her crazy. Like, you know, this is a guy that only knows life in a courtroom. Like, it really is kind of staggering how many times this guy has. I mean, who remembers when Bill Maher said that Donald Trump's father was an orangutan and then Trump sued him? Like, these are the kinds of things that Trump is used to, and he's getting to that point. Honestly, I think he's at that point now where he doesn't have enough money left to not only sue people, but also, pay for lawyers.
So what's the
Hence the
strat
shoes and the Bibles.
so what's the strategy for Trump's detractors? Is it to bankrupt him from the inside out and keep lobbing defamatory things at him in the hopes that he sues them and then he eventually runs out of more money anyway?
I mean, at this point, it's the ball is kind of in his court in terms of how does he fall? Because at this point, a lot of the various trials and whatever other legal battles he's facing, he's somehow been able to push them all until around the time period of the election. Meaning, you got some of these trials that'll start right before the election happens. Like, we're talking weeks before, if not days before. So, any misconception that, like, one of these trials is somehow gonna turn the future of the country in off into a different direction because Trump will go to prison and there's no way he'll win, blah blah blah. Well, as I said earlier, and as I've said many times already, he absolutely can still run for president from prison, win as president, or win the presidency from prison, and also at this point, because it doesn't really seem like there's any consensus as to whether or not it can be done, he pretty much can pardon himself if he wanted to. So the real challenge right about now is if he loses the 2024 election, do these trials continue? Or rather, is there enough steam for these trials to continue? And are the outcomes going to be what people thought they were going to be? Now, some of these are a hell of a lot more serious than this one, frankly. I mean, we're talking violations of the Espionage Act and showing nuclear information and battle tactics to Kid Rock and business friends. Like, you know, and hiding information that the federal government is like, give it back to us. Like, basically doing the kind of stuff that Nicolas Cage got away with in National Treasure. And he still didn't go to prison. Granted, he cut a deal, but he still didn't get to go to prison. So, with Trump at this point, it really is just a question of, like, if he loses and we get 4 more years of Biden, is there going to be the same kind of, I don't know, fear and what, blanking on the exact term, but basically the feeling that, like, time is limited, like we need to do this now. I mean,
Oh,
one thing, the whole Georgia case,
so loathing. Fear and loathing.
you could say so, yeah. Because in a lot of ways that was what a lot of these trials were supposed to be. They were supposed to be something that would, and this is my speculation, these were all supposed to be supposed to be things that were going to prevent him from getting to that point where he could freely run for president. The reality is that that's just not how it works. And, you know, the GOP is not going to change its mind and say, well, we can't have a convicted felon as our candidate, as our nominee. The party thinks that the country, the criminal justice system is run by a communist with dementia. So, as far as I can tell, they don't care. Like, they think their guy is the second coming. So, at this point, we're all living in La La Land. Anything goes, and it's just a matter of, my question is, are these cases just as important if Biden wins as they are right now. We could be seeing a whole bunch of these cases turn out where Trump doesn't go to prison. He pays a fine, pays a settlement here and there. He probably goes bankrupt, probably is broke. All these things that genuinely could threaten him, but certainly don't threaten him to the point where he's going to prison. And if he's got the chutzpah for it, is it enough to stop him from deciding whether or not to run in 2028?
Come November, I will say this. This will be my closing remark. Come November, it'll either be the essence of it has never been more over, or we are so back. And that, my friends, is it.
Mars on Life is a podcast co-hosted by Sebastian Shug, Ryan Mancini, Andrew Martinez, and Matt Fernandez. If you like this episode, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite shows, as Mars on Life is available on Anchor, Radio Public, iHeartRadio, Audible, Spotify, and Podchaser. Find us on Instagram at Mars on Life Show to keep up with the latest news, episodes, and gratuitous updates on the Red Planet. Have a question, comment, or request? Email us at marsonlife@gmail.com, and we'll promptly get back to you. This show's artwork, titled Happy Mars, was drawn by Zachary Erbrick. Our show's regular intro and outro music is Space Explorers by the one and only Kevin MacLeod. Thank you for listening, and always remember, if you keep going, you'll make it to Mars.